How many of you like the idea of God's blessings? You know, well, we all do. I mean, who doesn't, right? How many of you like the idea of receiving God's blessings? So, I got a double hand over here. All right. How would you like to know from Scripture a non-complicated way to see those blessings start coming into your life? That's not a trick question. I'm serious. Yeah, well, yes, of course. You know, if I had three hands, I'd lift them. All right. First off, somebody would ask, well, what blessings are you talking about? Let's just kind of get a very brief understanding. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And take a look here in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, we're not going to get into detail about, well, what does it mean, cometh down from above, and so forth. What we're going to do is just focus on this, every good gift and every perfect gift, good and perfect. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from our Father. So, what we're seeing are blessings in this 17th verse, are we not? Now, that means when it comes to the blessings of God, maybe most Christians, well, you know, well, what do you mean by blessings? What are you talking about? What kind of blessings? My response to that is, what difference does it make? Why does it matter? If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father, and those are blessings, then what difference does it make what they are? Because if I can figure out a way to appropriate them into my life, I already know they're going to be good and they're going to be perfect. So what difference does it make what they are? I guess you could say the problem that we kind of face as believers, we like to predefine blessings. You know, you use the word blessing and you talk, everybody, you know, well, money, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a part of it. But there's so much more. So when we use the word blessing, let's think in terms of everything, no matter what it is, that God knows I need. No matter what. Do I need a vehicle? All right, well then that would be a blessing. Do I need a different house? Well then that would be a blessing. Doesn't the word say that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? That's not just spiritual. It is spiritual, but it's not just spiritual. It has to do with here, this life. So, when we use the word blessing, let's think in terms of everything that I could need. Everything, no matter what it is. Well, you know, I need new glasses. Okay? You actually need healing to manifest more than the glasses. But in the interim, before the healing manifests, you need the glasses. So therefore, either some way, somehow, those glasses need to come into your life. Whether somebody says, hey, I'm going to take you down here and buy you a pair of glasses, or somehow you have the money to pay for them. One way or the other, you need those glasses in your life. That's just one example. Well, here we see every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from our Father. Let's look at another verse. Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Now, you'll like this one. If you didn't like the other one, you're definitely going to like this one. Are you ready? Now, this is the one that will really get you excited. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth... Now, see there? You see how excited you got? Look at the smiles in this room. It's like, yeah, all right, now we're getting serious. Now we're identifying. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, think about that. I've heard of people that win the lottery, within a year they're broke. There's one person, I forget how much they won in the lottery, and within, I think it was 12 to 14 months, they were living on the street. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I would like to think that, you know, somebody walked up to me and said, you know, I'm just, for some reason I dislike you. Here, have a lottery ticket, because I'm not going to go buy it. And if it turned out to be the winner, I would like to think that I'd be able to hold on to some of it for at least 2 years. I don't care if it's only $100,000. You see what I'm saying? But to go from, you know, living, I mean, the person was living in an apartment, and then a year later, after winning the lottery, they're living homeless. That's crazy. And, you know, I've talked to you before about it's like 70-something percent of all the NFL players are either bankrupt or in severe financial crisis. That's incredible. Not the active players, but the ones who are no longer playing. Well, here it says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, he adds no sorrow with it. So that means if we look at this just from money, if I appropriate it and access it God's way, then evidently it's going to hang around. In other words, I won't end up living on the street because I didn't know what I was doing. He adds no sorrow with it. So it's in my best interest to do it God's way, not man's way. All right. This being said, what we're seeing is every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. Now we see that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Well, let's just take this word rich and expand it to mean not just barely getting by, but bills paid and having extra left over. Let's not think of billions, okay? Bills paid, extra left over to be, you know, a distributor for the kingdom. And as far as the rich thing is concerned, let's think in terms of emotional wealth. Let's think in terms of physical wealth. Let's think in terms of just everything, the sum total of existence, spiritual wealth, you know, just everything. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. Now look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And here in Isaiah 55, look at verse 11. God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. All right, God is in heaven. He's given us his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God has said, every good and perfect gift comes from me. God has said, my blessing in your life maketh rich, and there is no sorrow added to it. And then God says, when my word goes forth from my mouth, it will not return void. It will accomplish everything I send it to accomplish. Now that means that when God blesses, it means we've been empowered to receive what he's made available. And when he blesses, when if we go through the word and we see a blessing, if we see where he has said, I bless you. Okay, leave it at that for the moment. That word he spoke has been released into the atmosphere of the natural. Like a cloud, it's out there. And it is waiting for someone to meet the conditions of that blessing And the moment they do, that blessing is released into their life. He says it right here. He says, my word will not return void. It will accomplish what I sent it for to accomplish. So if I see something in the Word of God that talks about being blessed, then that means, okay, that thing he said here in this verse, it's alive and it's out there right now. If I do what this verse says, that blessing is guaranteed to begin to manifest in my life. It can't not happen. Okay, let me give you an example. In Romans chapter 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said that. Now that blessing of salvation is out there right now like a cloud. It's in the atmosphere of this natural world. And every time a person calls upon the name of the Lord, it activates the blessing of born again in their life. It can't not save them. It can't. It can't refuse. It can't say, well, I don't want to save them. They've been bad all their life. Doesn't matter. God spoke it, and therefore it's out there. It's there right now. And it won't return void. It has been sent on a mission. And it's there right now waiting for somebody to appropriate it. And it's going to be out there until the Lord comes back. You say, well, you mean everything gets canceled after the Lord? No, when the Lord comes back, I mean, everything's perfect. Okay, there aren't going to be any needs for these kind of blessings when He comes back. You understand that, right? We enter into perfected eternity with Him. Therefore, it would be a really good idea for me to find out where these blessings are located. So, guess what we're going to do tonight? We're going to start in Psalms. Psalms, chapter 1. Now, look at this. And, I hope you follow along here, because it's going to help you to see this. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or really we could say the sum total of the word of the Lord. And in his law or word doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you see this? Blessed is the man that. And then God turns around and says, now here is how you get this blessing. You better not hang around the verse 1 people. And you need to do the verse 2 stuff, and you're going to end up with the verse 3 blessings. Blessed is the man. God spoke that. He's not taking it back. No take backs. No mulligans. No do-overs. He spoke it. It's out there. The moment any person does verses 1 through 3 is the moment these blessings begin to be released into the life of that individual. Very simple. Now, we're not going to dwell on all of these for a long time. However, I would just like to point out there are a lot of Christians today who are listening to verse 1 preachers and robbing themselves of blessings. They're keeping themselves away from this blessing. This has been spoken. It cannot change. It is a constant. All right, now let's look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Now, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation belongs to him. Therefore, if I want salvation, I have to go to him to get it. Now, once I have gone to him and called upon the name of the Lord and I have received salvation, that alone releases blessing into my life. Just the fact that I'm saved. So if a lost person wants God's blessings in their life, get saved. All you have to do is just get saved. One of the greatest blessings is not simply salvation, but that you're made his child. I don't think a lot of Christians get that one. See, you could be born again. Let me back up here. God is the one that came up with this whole thing of salvation. Now, when he was sitting up in heaven thinking, how do I want to do this anyway? You know, I don't want them just forgiven. I don't want them to just have a new nature. I want them to have my nature. And you know what? When I do that, they'll be my children. See, he could have set it up so that you could be born again without being his spiritual offspring. See, he could have done all kinds of, he's God, all right? But he chose to make us his children. He chose for us to be his offspring. That right there is a blessing. I'm a child of God. You know what? Even if healing weren't a blessing along with salvation, even if that weren't a part of the deal, just being his child, I'm a child of God. Take that, Satan. You don't get this. So here, salvation, getting born again, that alone puts you in a place of blessing. Look in chapter 24. Psalm 24. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, or nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So here he says, I don't want to take a whole lot of time, we've got several of these, but if you do verse 4, then you have a blessing of being able to do verse 3, stand in his holy place, or in other words, enter into a place of incredible intimacy with him. Now, you're going to have to go back and meditate on these even more to get more out of them. I'm just giving the verses to you. Look in chapter 32. Chapter 32, verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Let me say it another way. If you choose to live a holy life, blessing comes with it. If you are unblameable for, you know, stuff, he says right here, blessing comes with it. Look in chapter 34. Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We're all good at saying, I trust in the Lord. Well, let's be honest. You and I both know that has become such a catchphrase, it's easier to say it than it is to do it. To trust in him means you trust in him. You simply trust in him. You don't question him. You don't question your life. You trust in him. And he says, look, if you will trust me implicitly, you will be blessed. That releases, you trusting him releases blessing into your life. Chapter 40. In chapter 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now let me say this a little bit differently. Blessed is the man who hath no fellowship with darkness. Now, that doesn't mean you don't witness to lost people, but a fellowshipping lifestyle. Look, this is not easy, I know it, but for some Christians, they have to avoid their family members. Because there are Christians out there with family members that don't know anything other than to cuss and cheat And I mean, it's like living in a country music song. You know what I'm saying? Not all of them, I know that. Anyway, turn over to chapter 65. Chapter 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now, somebody might say, well, how do I know that I'm chosen? Are you born again? Yes, you're chosen. I don't have time to go through and break all these down and teach on them. New Testament gives us the revelation. If you're born again, you're chosen. So, I'm chosen, therefore I'm blessed, but this causes me to be able to, he says here, approach unto him. Well, you know, if anybody needs some assistance, you know, come boldly to the throne of grace. And then he says, look, you're going to be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. The more I understand who I am in Christ as far as I'm his child, I'm God's child, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the more I understand the goodness of the household of the Lord. Anyway, there are blessings in this. Look in chapter 84. Chapter 84. Now look here in verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. That's kind of King Jamesy, but blessed are they that dwell in thy house. See, I can be born again, but using imagery, I can be born again, but I could be a prodigal child. You understand that? I could be born again, but not dwelling in the house. And blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Meaning, you rely on him for your daily living. Not simply provision, but the ability to live in this world. When he is your strength, then you're not going to be concerned about making it every day. I mean, he could preach sermons on every single one of these. But he says, look, blessed is the man that depends on me for the strength to get by, to live, to endure, to persevere, to succeed. In whose heart are the ways of them? Are the ways of what? Just let me simplify it. Are the ways of the Lord. In my heart, I have adopted his ways and made them mine. His mannerisms, I've made them mine. He says there's a blessing with that. When you do that, there's a blessing that comes with that. See, it's not just a matter of choosing to live a certain way. It's a matter of God saying, hey, listen, I appreciate you choosing to live this way. But you know what? More than just my appreciation, I have already released a blessing that will work its way into your life. I want you to know that I'm proud of you for taking this stand. And I don't want you to wait till you get to heaven to find out how happy I am with you. I want you to know now, I've released a blessing. I've spoken it. It's not coming back to me. It's there for you. Look over in chapter 94. In chapter 94, take a look at verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. Oh, I don't like that one. I don't think I want those blessings, Brother Martin. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, or out of thy word. Well, you know, in the New Testament it tells us that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And if he doesn't chasten you, then you're really not his child. Now look at this. This, you know, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. This means every time you hear a sermon that makes you feel guilty, every time you hear a sermon that convicts, not condemns, convicts. The Lord's not going to condemn you. Every time you hear a sermon that exposes an area of your life where you've just been doing wrong, whatever that would be. Every time you're praying, oh God, I just want to hear your voice. And he decides, okay, here comes. and he begins to reveal things to you that just aren't right, and this chastening, and he begins revealing to you out of his word where you're missing it, where you're wrong, where your belief system has been wrong, etc., and so on. There is a blessing that comes along with this. Now, this may sound rather masochistic, but do you realize if we go to God and say, chasten me, come on, God, chasten me. You said you'd do it if you loved me. We're actually asking for a blessing. Correct me. Show me the word where I've been stupid. He says, well, okay, I can do that. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Because, you know, the chastening lingereth but for a moment. But joy comes in the morning. There's a blessing that comes with it. A blessing. A blessing. Glory to God. I mean, I don't know. At that point, it's like, you know what? This is going to hurt for a little while. But there's a blessing that comes with it. Look over in 106, chapter 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness when they are at church. Oh, wait a minute. Did I misread something? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. That means when you're at home and you're alone on the computer, it ain't nobody around, and you have figured out how to wipe clean your search history. It means you doeth righteousness on your computer, on your TV. It means you do it. You doeth righteousness when you're at the swimming pool, at the beach. Your thoughts? It means you doeth righteousness at all times. Meaning, righteousness governs your thoughts, your actions, every aspect of your life. It governs. I don't know why this one just popped up. I wasn't even thinking of this one. You doeth righteousness at Golden Corral. You say, what? Do you not know that gluttony is a sin? And it's easy to glut when you are at Golden Corral. Hey, it's like, well, it's paid for, bless God, and they put it out there. I mean, hey. Everybody should have one of those chocolate fountains. Brother Martin, do you know if we had one of those in our church, attendance would double, triple, quadruple. Kids would come in from everywhere and bring their families. That's all we need. A bunch of kids come walking in the sanctuary with, you know, chocolate just running down their face, dripping off their nose. No, seriously. This whole thing of the overeating, it's easy to do at a place like that. Well, I just don't understand. How can you eat righteously? God didn't say you can't have dessert. God didn't say you can't go back for seconds. I think every one of you in here, you know exactly what I am talking about. Do you realize, I read this in the paper. There was a buffet, a Chinese buffet down in, I think it was Louisiana. And Chinese buffets are usually run by Chinese people. Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of works out like that, you know. So, anyway, these two men, they filed some kind of a complaint because the waitress walked up to them and she said, "You done. You too fat. You eat too much. You go now." Like, well, the truth of the matter was, these guys both, by description, were, let's just say, extremely portly. And I guess they had eaten and eaten and eaten and just ate. And do you know that there are buffets There are people who will go to the buffet and they'll pay their money, they'll eat lunch and just stay there and nibble all day long and then eat dinner and then nibble some more and then go home and pass out. I'm serious. Righteousness is not simply a matter of, well, I'm not cheating on my wife. It's the sum total of your lifestyle. And, hey, you know, I know you're looking at me thinking, well, have you looked in the mirror lately, Brother Martin? I know I need to lose some. Hey, and I have lost some. Really. They're like at least four or five ounces. It's just like... That's like the person that said, hey, yesterday, man, I burned 2,000 calories. That's the last time I take a nap while baking brownies. Anyway, where were we in this? That doeth righteousness. It's the sum total of our life. And listen, you know what? I'm pretty confident that there were times where at a certain time, maybe even Jesus, he never got into gluttony, but I'm sure there were times he ate more than at other times. I don't doubt that whatsoever. But you know what? The more that we just, you know, shove it down the gullet, it's not doing us any good. We're taking a chance on shortening our lives. You know the testimony of that? Guys, I'm not trying to be cruel to people, but one of the worst things in the world is a 600-pound preacher standing up preaching about a holy lifestyle. There was a fellow I won't say that because somebody might hear it that knows him, and I respect this man. But he needs to lose weight. Hey, I will tell you this one, though, because this one I can share. There was a preacher. He was a revivalist. You know, healing revival, tent meetings kind of guy, back in the days of Oral Roberts and when all the people had their tents. And this guy, the power of God showed up, healings, all kinds of stuff. I mean, and man, thousands of people would show up for the services. He had a huge tent. Well, Kenneth Hagin went to him and he said, there are three things you need to deal with. And God is, you know, judging you on these things. One of them had to do with his weight, because he was overweight big time. Well, he kind of laughed it off and didn't do anything about it, and he died. I mean, a period of time passed, gave him a chance to deal with it, but he died, and it was associated with the weight, the health problems. So this thing here, hey, I wouldn't be talking about this. I mean, it's not in my notes, if you can call these notes. But the Lord just spoke that to me about this includes how we eat. And he says, blessed is the man, blessed are they that keep judgment. Keep judgment. I guess one way to look at that would be whatever the Lord says, that's how you judge things. And he that doeth righteousness at all times. So God says there's a blessing released into your life, or it's ready for you now if you do this. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Everybody said, amen. Chapter 112. Look here in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Quite frankly, I don't think there's enough holy fear in the body of Christ, enough holy fear of God. When all the junk that's going on, I mean, God have mercy. All the people, the Christians out there that are, I mean, they're in sin. They're doing things wrong. I'm talking just, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but, and then they justify it, they say it's okay, and they talk, you know, grace covers it and all this other. You can't do that. And here he says, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. That fears the Lord. You take his word seriously. When he says it's possible to walk away from the faith, then you better take a hard look at your own life to figure out, hey, am I on that path? And delights greatly in his commandments. Too many Christians see the structure of God's word as too restraining, too confining. You know, I want to be able to live. I want to be happy. The Bible even talks about pleasure and sin for a season. Just say it like this: satisfaction of the flesh brings pleasure for a season, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, that's not a verse in the Bible, but the message is here in Scripture. That message. So, when I delight in His commandments, it doesn't mean that the flesh isn't going to battle against some of those things. But from a spiritual perspective, I delight in His commandments because He's revealing to me a way to live that is honorable in His sight and brings blessings. All right, look over in 119. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That seek Him with the whole heart. That last part takes concentration. It's easy to have a half conversation with God. You know what I'm saying? We talk to Him because we know we're supposed to, but the whole time we're thinking about everything else. We've all done it. But when I seek Him with my whole heart, that means if He comes to me, and He's never done this, if He did, I'd have to do it. I mean, oh, I wouldn't have to. He wouldn't make me, but it'd be the right thing. If He were to come to me and say, don't you ever watch another college football game. Now, if He were to come to me and say that, He would give me the strength to do it. My flesh would not like the idea. My emotions would not like the idea. But if He said it, then that would be a part of seeking Him with my whole heart. That would be the thing that I would have to do. Seeking Him with my whole heart means all of me comes under all of Him. All the things that I would want come beneath everything that He wants. And I seek Him. Hey, you know, have you ever thought when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all these things that Jesus did, do you honestly think there weren't times when in His emotions He would rather be back home making something out of wood? He was a carpenter. That He wouldn't like to be back home with, you know, His family, friends that He had growing up. But you really don't think that He missed people at times? You know, He had brothers and sisters. I don't know how many of them were married. Remember, Jesus was the oldest. But He had brothers and sisters, and they eventually grew up, became adults. Now, in my imagination, and you don't have to agree with me, but I believe it's very possible some of them were married and had children. And you don't think Jesus would like to spend time with His nieces and nephews? You ever thought of that? Yeah. These are the kind of things that we don't always think about when we're reading Scripture. We just kind of read it and go on with it. But Jesus had a real life. But yet He always put the will of the Father first. He sought the Father with His whole heart. Look over in 133. Chapter 133. In verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity together. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. The Lord commanded the blessing. This is based upon unity. Do you know there are people, since I've walked in this building as the pastor, there are people who have left this church because I did not in some way, shape, or form exalt them before the congregation. Because I did not, let me just create examples that have never happened to try to exemplify here. Well, he never asked me to be a greeter. Well, I'm just going to go somewhere else. Well, he didn't ask me to help out in the Sunday school department. So, you know, I'm just going. Well, he never asked me to be an usher. So I'm just going to go find me another church somewhere. Now, that is extremely petty. But that kind of pettiness is why some people have left this church. Now, I've known it before they left. You say, well, for crying out stinking loud, Brother Martin, if you knew it, why didn't you cave in? Which is what you mean appeal to their flesh and their pride and be an enabler? Is that what you were getting ready to ask me? No, you were getting ready to ask me, then why didn't you approach them? Why didn't you help them? Why didn't you give them this thing to do so that there wouldn't be any conflict? Because I'm not going to compromise. If you're that petty, pack it up, hit the road. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just telling you, man, that's the way it is. Do you honestly want that attitude in the church? Because it will impact other people. And that's not me trying to be cruel. That's a matter of, you know, when you start caving in to that fleshly pride in people, it's a slippery slope and there's no climbing back up. And I know for a fact there have been, well, I don't want to be harsh on this. There have been people who have left because I didn't cave in. Because I did not exalt them. Well, I'm sorry. Really, I am. My intent was not to drive you out, but they would have a different story for you. Well, what we see here in Scripture, there is a blessing associated with unity. And do you know you have to work at unity? It doesn't just happen. You have to be willing. When I say, I mean all of us, me included. We have to be willing to lay down our pride. And as it talks about over there in the New Testament, prefer each other, respect each other. Respect and preference does not mean you always get your way. It just means I understand you're different from me, and together we need to press into God and make Him number one. But when it comes to compromise, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to do that. When we make the effort to stay in unity, God says there is a blessing associated with this. Meaning God has already spoken this blessing, and as we make the effort to stay in unity, that blessing begins to manifest in our lives and in this ministry. Because He can't take it back. He's already spoken it. Look over in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man, now this is God speaking from the perspective of wisdom. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now God says, if you'll take the time daily, and I'm going to be the first person to publicly admit I have not done this daily the way I could. But God says, if you will take the time daily, and it doesn't take hours. It's a matter of, Father, what is your will for me this day? What is my assignment this day? He says, if you'll do this, then you know what? There's a blessing that will be released into your life. I need to remember this. This is such a simple blessing. This is a simple way to access a blessing. Father, what is your will for me this day? What do you want me to do this day? And then hang around maybe for a few seconds. See what he has to say. Now look over in Isaiah. Yes, we're almost done. Isaiah. You know, it's got to rattle some people when I do things like that. When I answer what they were thinking. How did he know? How did he know? Isaiah 30. You know, people are going to start wearing, you know, aluminum foil on their heads. To get... Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. God says, I'll wait for you. Will you wait for me? If you wait for me, guess what? You activate a blessing in your life. All too often our zeal leads us faster than the Holy Spirit. Really, the better way to put that is our zeal will push us ahead of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know what? If you'll learn to wait on me, there is a blessing that will be released into your life. Look in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. And this kind of goes along with some things we've already read. But chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Father, you're my hope. When it comes to my health, my finances, wisdom, peace, joy, strength, direction, guidance, etc., etc., you're my hope. You are my hope. You know, when we trust in each other, it doesn't matter how hard I try to do what you trust me to do. It is inevitable there can be things that come up in our lives that make it impossible for us to do what somebody else was hoping we would do. You know, I'll pick you up at 6. Well, if my car breaks down, I can't pick you up at 6. But you see, God doesn't have those kind of problems. Therefore, I can trust in Him all the time for everything. I can put my hope in Him all the time for everything. And God says, when you do that, there is a blessing that gets released into your life. Now, tonight, we have seen a sampling of blessings that God has spoken. He has declared, blessed is the man, blessed are they. Blessed over and over again. We do not in all of these verses see a clear-cut explanation or definition of those blessings. But that takes us back to what I was sharing earlier. What difference does it make? Because every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. Therefore, whatever the blessing is that is associated with us doing these things we've seen in Scripture, doesn't matter what the blessing is. It's going to be for my benefit, for my good. It will be something I need. It will be what my life has to have. It will be something, maybe even that I just want. Not some super incredible whatever, but just something that my Father knows I'd like to have. Maybe I've always had this desire to have a particular type of ink pen. And he moves for that ink pen to be given to me. It sounds so simple, but he's our Father. And there are times that even those things will happen. And we have seen tonight over and over and over again in his word, he has spoken, blessed is the person who'll do this. And the moment you do this, a blessing begins to be released into your life. Now listen to this, that God can't stop. Why? Because he's already said, when my word goes forth, it won't return void. So all of these blessings are out there right now. All of these promises, they're out there right now. They're just out there, just kind of floating around. Just waiting for somebody to do what's necessary. And then we become a magnet to that blessing. Here it comes. We've activated it. Here it comes. And it's not that hard. It can be a challenge to the flesh. But see, these things that God has said, blessed is the person who, then he tells you what, if we couldn't do those things, there wouldn't be a blessing associated with it. I mean, that's like hanging that carrot out in front of the donkey. That carrot, that donkey can walk for, you know, 3 months. He's never going to get that carrot, ever. It's like the farmer's lying to him. Just another few steps. Come on, just another few steps. It doesn't work that way. It's like, you know, taking the milk bone and the, you know, holding it up above the dog, and that dog jumps and jumps and jumps and jumps, and you just laugh. It's like taking the laser pointer and doing it on the floor with that cat. And that cat just runs, and, you know, I mean, that cat will run its head right into a wall trying to get that laser, but it's never going to get it. And we just laugh. And God does not shine a laser pointer in front of us and laugh. He says, blessed are you if, and you can do the if, therefore the blessing can be yours if you want it.